This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Bardo. He's the Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm great.
Well, I want to start off the year with a big topic, and nothing's bigger than satellite services and broadband services and distributed federal agencies and all kinds of topics that are big. But before we dive into what Hughes does and what managed services are and the difference between carrier and broad-based services, Tony, tell us about your background, how you wound up working for Hughes.
I've been in the telecommunications business in the federal sector for over 30 years now. It's hard to think of that, but it's
true. For such a young fella.
Thank you very much for that, by the way. I started out with the Bell System before its divestiture, and then worked on the old FTS network for AT&T long lines before moving to MCI and ran their civilian business for about 14 years. Did the same at Quest for a number of years, and ended up about 6 years ago at Hughes running their government solutions group, which we have the responsibility for handling federal, state, and local government business.
So, Tony, sounds like your background goes from Telstar till today, the whole range, everything in between, huh?
Well, it doesn't go back quite that far. But
I remember that, but maybe my experience goes back that far. You must be a young fella. So we know you've got a lot of experience, decades of experience with working with large organizations and distributed communications. So you wound up working for Hughes. How long have you been with Hughes, and what is your focus at Hughes?
I've been at Hughes for 6 years now, and we've started out very much as a satellite services provider in the government market and offering traditional attributes of satellite service as a solution for network access for very remote locations, for emergency communications, for resilient backup communications that would back up the traditional terrestrial network services that the agencies were using. We're also providing a service for distance learning networks, and we do a lot of that with both DOD and civilian agencies. We provide a large distance learning network for the Social Security Administration as well, and we still provide these services. But that was really just at the beginning, and at this point now we're much more than just a satellite services provider. We provide Wi-Fi and digital signage and digital media products and services. And, of course, we're leveraging our managed network capabilities that we've been providing to the enterprise field for about 6 or 7 years now, and have broken that out in the past year or so to sell these to government agencies.
Yes, it's interesting that if you take a look at the last 30 years, when you think of remote locations, you think of maybe an agency like the Bureau of Land Management has organizations all through the United States. And over the years, it's transitioned to, well, the offices are remote, okay. What about the humans being remote, okay? And what about humans working out of home offices? All of a sudden, you have a transition of more and more remote services needed rather than just, we have 8 offices, so we need 8 connections. You may need 8,000 or 80,000.
Well, we're moving certainly to many offices of one, many offices of one or a few people, and highly distributed, as you say, John. And the beauty about what we offer at Hughes is that we're almost location indifferent. We've got these services that can touch pretty much anywhere in the country and get you to the furthest remote spots in a state, in a region, anywhere in the country.
It's a transition. I had coffee this morning at a Panera up the road, and a fellow sat down next to me. He got a Skype connection. He was talking with his clients in China. It was just that this is part of his day. 8 o'clock in the morning, you're open in China, call China from the road, and go to five other places during the day. It's just different, a way of working 5, 10, 15 years ago, isn't it?
Very different. Very different. The whole day is sort of open to you as a remote worker, or as a worker that that has a territory they have to manage, a scope of responsibility that that really doesn't end at 5 p.m.
I work with software developers, as you know, and if you were to sit a software developer in here and say, what is a managed service, he would have a very specific definition, something to do with maybe software as a service and Rackspace somewhere. So what does managed services mean in the area of broadband?
Well, the key word that that we really want to stress here about our broadband managed services is that it's national. Not to say that the term broadband is not fundamental, because it is. But what we can provide is the power and flexibility and cost savings potential of using managed national broadband services for agencies on a national basis. And we can do this because Hughes has assembled a supply chain of about 27 broadband services suppliers across the country, and allows us to bring a cohesively bundled and managed network service to federal agencies in a way that's never been offered before. And this is a serious departure from the way agencies agency field offices have been connected for the last 40 years. It's been done the same way, and it's a serious path to significant improvements in bandwidth to the field offices, as well as a direct path to significant dollar savings versus traditional methods.
Well, that's one thing. I think from a residential perspective, most of my neighbors, possibly even you, we're looking at our you know, communications bills every month and wondering what went on and how to save money on that. But I think just because for the last 10 years an agency has always worked one way, that doesn't mean that's the best way. That's certainly not the cheapest anymore, is it?
No, and telecommunication services have certainly decreased over the years. I'm not saying that they haven't, but they're still expensive. And traditionally, these services are provided, these access services to offices have been provided via dedicated mileage-sensitive communication circuits that that are still expensive no matter how much they've come down over the past few years. They're still expensive versus what are now some alternatives, such as the use of broadband.
Yeah, especially broadband using satellite communications. If you look at just this internationally, you look at what's going on in Africa, they are making a great leap with handheld devices using satellites and using all kinds of type of communications, and they're doing banking and everything in Africa. And I think maybe Americans here maybe are so locked into the old traditional way of communicating, they don't realize the flexibility that may have just been available in the next 4 or 5 years from companies like Hughes.
Oh, absolutely. And the idea here is that work is everywhere, work is anywhere, and it's anytime. And with budget pressures and also work pressures to do, you know, the old saying is, you know, doing more with less is absolutely true. And the idea that these budget cuts are hitting these agencies really, really hard. Now, for instance, we've got this ability to have technology help these agencies make an impact with these into their budget cuts.
Right, there's no choice anymore. You know, my wife, I have lunch with her friends and talk about what the cost of their mobile service is. Well, now agencies have to take a very close look at every penny they're spending, because they're going to get whacked. And if they can save money with broadband, they might as well take advantage of it.
It's time to look at something new and figure out if that can help. And that's what we've got here.
You've recently won an award with the United States Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service. Well, all my listeners eat food. We guarantee you that much. So tell me about this contract and what kind of flexibility you afford the agency in this regard.
Well, the mission of the FSIS touches every American citizen. It's an important mission carried out by people who work very hard and quietly every day to ensure the safety of the food we all love to eat. Their field locations are scattered all over the country, and some in particularly remote areas that are hard and expensive to serve with traditional high-speed communication circuits. The inspectors in these locations must file timely and accurate reports using the best available and cost-effective means. We came to them with our managed broadband services and that we offer ubiquitously across the country. They were having a hard time getting different companies providing them with with broadband services. And in October, we began deploy almost up to 300 sites, and hopefully that that project will grow. But the idea that they started to see the value of broadband was encouraging to us as a managed broadband service provider. But the fact that they were having a hard time getting a bunch of different companies and managing them to do this job, our ubiquitous solution really came as a relief to them.
Well, it would only make sense. It's so federated in the United States. If you're trying to manage, let's just say, six offices in six different states, each state may have a different complete manner of distributing broadband services. And now with an agency has to worry about security regulations that maybe a state like Wyoming or wherever the state happens to be, Colorado, they may have no idea what you're talking about. It's a kind of a difficult process to figure out what service to use.
Well, we have agencies doing it different ways that we've encountered. Some agencies, you have people out there in their offices, and they're fed up with the communication circuits they have, and they, out of their own budgets and on their own behalf, they go out and contract with a local company to provide the broadband service. And you multiply that over 500 offices, and it gets unwieldy.
Let's take a break, Tony. We can come back, talk more about COOP, and maybe differentiate broadband services from a traditional carrier type of services. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes.
Relive the buzzer beaters, dunks, and times shared with friends and family in buff and blue at the homecoming game versus St. Joseph's on Saturday, February 18th. Join Colonials legends including 2012 Hall of Fame inductees Chris Monroe and Shante Rogers and alumni from across the country at the Charles E. Smith Center to reconnect with GW Athletics and enjoy Atlantic 10 basketball. Tickets are still on sale, so visit gwsports.com or call 202-994-7325 today.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran, and so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base, right, but actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Department of Defense update is brought to you by ITT Excellus.
The Pentagon's new defense strategic guidance calls for a rebalance toward the Pacific region and the Middle East. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, released the new strategy at the Pentagon last week. The new strategic document says the United States' posture in Europe must also evolve. No details on what that evolution will mean, but Secretary Panetta and General Dempsey both emphasized the U.S. relationship with NATO.
You know about their groundbreaking radar, sonar, and electronic warfare solutions, but ITT Excellus has even more to offer the U.S. Navy. They're ready to help you navigate the challenges ahead with proven readiness and advanced technology solutions. Join them at Booth 100 at the Surface Navy National Symposium, January 10 through 12 at the Hyatt Regency Crystal City to see how Excellus can help respond to a range of global threats. Situational agility and a record of rapidly fielding affordable solutions are waiting for you. ITT Excellus, the power of ingenuity.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
George Jacobson is the CIO for the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. He says cybersecurity is the one issue that keeps him up at night.
We are constantly looking at ways to improve the security of our storage, of our systems, of our telecommunications. We monitor them. We make sure that people have the proper training. They go through annual security and privacy training. They can't even get enabled for their VPN until they've gone through some training.
Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
powered by the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant GS servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve ROI in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how together they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes. We had a pretty big picture generic conversation about satellites and agencies using satellites for communication and broadband communication. Now, Tom Cruise has a popular movie out right now where he does all these kind of spy things. It's kind of cool. But I remember the movie. He had this movie and he said, "Show me the money." Remember that one? "Show me the money." Now, that's something to ask you, Tony. I mean, my listeners are sitting back here going, okay, Tony's got decades of experience in a well-respected company and he helps save agencies money. But give me a for instance. Show me the money, Tony. Give me some typical savings that an agency might have by looking at your services.
Well, John, I've been in this business a long time, and the way the traditional, quote-unquote, long-distance telecom carriers provide access services to their networks is that these are dedicated circuits, and they're priced on a mileage-sensitive basis, meaning that if the further a field site is from the network provider's hub or point of presence, the more expensive the monthly cost of that circuit. Broadband services are frequently available at these sites and at much lower prices, and usually delivering much higher bandwidth than a traditional T1. So it results in a win-win situation for the customer, more bandwidth at a lower cost. For instance, on average, through some research we've done, a traditional access circuit would be about $400 a month. Now, I've had some agencies tell me, well, that's a little bit low. I've had agencies that are right next door to the traditional telecoms carrier hub, and they say, well, that's a little bit high. But on average, about $400 a month. Well, we can provide a circuit that'll deliver, in some cases, twice the bandwidth, twice the speed, and be less than 50% of the cost of the traditional telecom circuit. And that's after management of it and so forth. And that's the monthly recurring costs. So every month, a customer switches from traditional access to broadband access to the network, they're saving up to and sometimes more than 50% per month, every month.
It sounds like in the 1990s, you would market CPUs. Intel would always get on TV and go, twice as fast for half the price. But that really sounds like what it is. I mean, if you can leverage the services that you have here, you can actually increase speed and reduce costs. Now, if you look at something like the Food Safety and Inspection Service, you know, the UST has got, you know, all kinds of inspectors every place. I've read as much as 6,000-7,000 different facilities. And so if you're an agency and you have 6,000 different facilities and you're encouraged to use the cloud for everything these days, all of a sudden the cloud is going to make you look at the way you communicate back and forth to large servers. I mean, there's no choice here.
When you have applications in the cloud and you've got to go to that cloud, you need even more bandwidth than you're using today. So this becomes really a story of, well, isn't that the case with technology, where you're going to be able to do far more with fewer dollars spent? The fact of the matter is that, you know, over the last 40 years, people have changed lots of technologies. This is one technology they haven't changed, and that's the traditional dedicated special access circuit to their site. But this changes all that. This is an entirely new network access model for government that we're deploying now for FSIS and hopefully for other agencies as well.
We have a mutual friend by the name of Bob Devine. I'll bet he doesn't have the same cell phone that he used 10 years ago.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either. But there are many agencies who may have that. They're locked into certain contracts. Now, in the commercial world where I'm familiar with, I mean, if we're locked into a contract and some other vendor has a better price, that gets renegotiated and you can hammer out some adjustments. Federal government may be locked into contracts, and they have to take a look at exactly what's going on. Let's Let's talk about this approach versus a traditional approach, or, you know, from years ago, you go from a 286 to a 386, then a 486. What kind of transitions here, just in big pictures, just from a carrier-based service to a broadband-based service? Is that what we're talking about?
What we're talking about is that the smarts of the network, be it the internet or be it a MPLS network that the carriers offer, have improved in functionality by leaps and bounds. Access technologies have improved in terms of speed, in terms of fiber rings and so forth. But the fact of the matter is the pricing components of how these are delivered to customers really hasn't changed. There's that dedicated access piece. There's a port to the network. And those prices have come down. They're still a whole lot more expensive than broadband. So really, when a customer comes to us and says, what can you do for broadband? We will determine what technologies are available on a site-by-site basis. It could be DSL, it could be cable, it could be 3G. And in the case of where it's none of those, we can always bring in our traditional satellite to fill in the gap for some place that is completely unserved by any kind of high-speed facilities except for satellite. So we bring an array of different technologies, some of them terrestrial, that we manage because we put our router at the end of these circuits. We can see the circuit all the way through into our network operations center. We hand off a backhaul circuit, a single backhaul circuit to the customer's data center, and we give them one bill. We give them one throat to choke, and we even give them a portal where they can view the health of their network on a real-time basis. So this is managed service. This is truly using broadband to its real powerful and flexible capability, and in a different way than how a circuit is, how a field office accesses the network.
I'm trying to come up with a simple illustration that maybe listeners who aren't familiar with this would understand. Over the Christmas holiday, my wife made me take a television from the basement and donate it to the Salvation Army. And, you know, 6-7 years ago, it was a fine television, and we probably paid $600 or $700 for it. I don't remember. But now we have a lot smaller TV we spent half that for, and it's much better definition. And you would think, well, we got something newer. We're going to have to spend $1,000. No, it's actually a much better TV, probably uses less power, takes up a lot less space, and is cheaper. And it's just that this is a transition here that people have to force themselves to look at different options, even if, well, we've always done it that way. Well, maybe you have to look at different options besides the traditional the tube television, huh?
Well, exactly right. And, you know, here's the message. We can deliver a circuit to you with perhaps twice the bandwidth, perhaps half the cost, and we'll manage it for you. You'll have one company to deal with. And, oh, by the way, you can go upstairs to your boss and say, I'm not going to spend as much money as I did last year on my communications network. It's a pretty good deal.
When you think of backups, people talk about services like Dropbox, and they talk about continuity of operations. The federal government may call that COOP. So what about resiliency and these types of services? Is there a risk involved with, oh, it's cheaper and faster? Oh, but the bad news is that it's not as reliable. Is that the trade-off?
Well, it's a great question because the circuits, the traditional access circuits today are single-threaded. That single-threaded T1 circuit to a field office versus now I can bring a broadband circuit, whether it's terrestrial, whether it's cable, whether it's DSL, whether it's 3G, whether it's satellite, I can bring that and improve the bandwidth. And by the way, particularly if it's a terrestrial circuit and that customer says, I want more resiliency. I'm now going to the cloud for my applications, and I need even more safety, more of a safety net in case one of my communications path fails. We can now provide a satellite connection that is path diverse from the terrestrial connection, give that customer two paths to the cloud for about the same money that they're spending now in their single-threaded T1. So the network resiliency, the COOP, this becomes an issue of continuity of operations, COOP, versus disruption of operations, which is DOOP, and have that resiliency and that capability to continue service when in some cases during an emergency or a disaster, that's when citizens need the government the most.
it's interesting that this technology has changed to allow that resiliency to be built in. You know, the Navy SEALs say one is none is and two is one. And so for a resilient perspective, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Two is one. Let's take a quick break. We come back, talk more about continuity of operations, managed services, and talk more about some specifics, maybe with the FSIS on how you save that agency money. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army's service of every generation.
In the beloved fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Congress enacted legislation that requires $1.2 trillion in budget cuts before January 2013. But where and how will these cuts be made? Join host Jane Norris on Fed Central as Robin Leinberger, John Powers, and Joanne Boutel of Deloitte discuss strategies for reducing costs without significantly impacting core missions. Tune in to Deloitte's Fed Central Wednesday, January 18th at 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. to learn more.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Head over to the Gaylord National and see the ice spectacular. You're seeing sculptures that were created from 2 million pounds of ice. You can even slide down a 20-foot ice slide, and I can tell you from experience that's quite a deal. You can check out the buy one, get one free deal on tickets to ice, but also you can get some great deals on packages at the Gaylord National, with some special pricing for residents of Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. Look at page 44 of the December Recreation News. Then call and ask the Gaylord folks for the special deals, especially those that apply to the residents of Maryland, Virginia, and D.C.
Now, what about the ski resorts this time of year?
Wisp in Northern Western Maryland has a midweek madness package that starts at $59. And Canadian Valley Resort in West Virginia also has special holiday packages that you can take advantage of.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes, talking about satellites and communications. In 1994, I was sitting in a hotel in downtown Washington, D.C. I had lunch with an editor from the Washington Post, and we talked about the T1 line over at the White House. That was a big deal because we crossed, I think, 15th Street, and he pointed down there, and he said, well, yeah, you know, they have a T1 line. That's pretty impressive. And in 94, it's impressive. Now, if I told my kids that, they would just fall off the chair laughing. And I said, well, back in those days, you could get dial-up or you could get T1 or some kind of strange mix in between, but those are choices. Today's all kinds of choices for agencies and all kinds of different levels of communication. We're with the field office, you may want to choose one package, and with a home office, you might choose another package. But I think this gives you a whole wide range that people never even thought of years ago.
Well, the one-size-fits-all concept has gone out the window a long time ago, and the interesting thing about the service plans that we offer under our managed services package is that we can offer at different sites different speeds, different bandwidth plans, different prices, and so forth, as opposed to here's your T1, and this is what you get because this is what you're supposed to get. Now, you can get two T1s, but it's only adding to the cost. So the flexibility of broadband service plans really plays well here.
Yeah, I have a friend who works for Accenture, and I don't want to badmouth Accenture. It's a wonderful company. But they have some solutions out there that say, well, this is our solution. Now come on over and fit it. It's like, wait a minute, we have a size 5 shoe. Come on in, Tony, and see if it fits. Now, I wear a 9.5. I couldn't wear a size 5. But I see other companies saying, well, we have a size 5. Come on down. Your agency changes your plans to fit us. That ain't going to work. It doesn't work.
It's an interesting point, John, because these long-distance national carrier networks have tremendous power, tremendous capacity, and our managed network services are really meant to complement those networks. A lot of agency locations, the big DOE labs, regional headquarters sites, and here in D.C. all need much, much more bandwidth. We're typically talking about 45 megabits and above kind of capacity. And our solution is more for the field, office that is getting the T1 and operates in a complementary way to the quote-unquote big pipe network. Industry's been doing this for years. Our commercial customers, for instance, in the gas and oil business, have, for instance, their refineries, their headquarters locations, their big sales offices, and so forth that are connected with these big pipes. Then you get down to the store level, or in this case, the gas station level. This is where T1 connectivity is trumped by the use of broadband, the much more flexible and cost savings capability of broadband. And so out in the field, in the FSIS offices, in the park ranger offices, that VA office, district office, that Social Security office, where those are really the government stores, if you will. Those are the government. That's where the government faces its citizens and serves its citizens in different parts of the country. And this is where broadband can really make its impact and complement the quote-unquote big pipe network that the agencies need for their larger locations.
You know, I think a word that is used in the commercial world is scaling. And if I had one product, I can scale it easily because I have to worry about one size and fits all. But I think each federal agency is in a hard time forcing themselves to take one specific type. So it almost has to be custom tailored for security requirements. DOJ may have different security requirements from the people over at HHS who have, I don't know, 170 hospitals. And it has to be different from the folks at USDA. So each agency, I mean, it has to almost be tailored for their specific security requirements.
And that's why you come to these customers with an array of technologies, an array of service plans and bandwidth capabilities and prices, and you fit it location by location. And that's what we do. That's what we do for these commercial customers for all these years, and that's what we're doing now for FSIS. In fact, what's interesting is that we haven't had a customer say, I need less bandwidth.
Yes, so, no one's going to say that.
So FSIS came to us and said, hey, we have this money, this limited amount of money to spend. What's the most we can do with it? And that's what we're doing for them with this service.
So let's say that my name is John Gilroy and I work for ABC Agency, and I've got these big communications bills coming in, and I'm beating my head against the wall trying to figure out what I'm going to pull back, not pull back. What, I mean, how would I make a transition? I mean, what would I do? What would I say, hey, Tony, come on out and take a look at X, Y, and Z, or can I do it at one time? Or how do I make this transition, kind of changing horses midstream almost?
Well, it's the first thing you got to do is, as I mentioned earlier, is see what your needs are by type of office that you have. You've got these large offices. You're best served by staying with the network you have and improving that to the maximum capability and leveraging your carrier's capability and the prices they charge. On the other hand, you've got this field office configuration that can dearly use optimization, price and performance optimization. And that's what this service does. We could look at a customer and say, give us these locations. Let us see what is available for us to provide for you. There's almost nothing we can't do for you. And present the customer with options. At site A here, Mr. Customer, Mr. Gilroy, we've got cable and DSL available. Two different prices, two different speeds, or various different speeds, you choose. When you choose, then we implement that. And that's what we're doing for FSIS. That's what we can do for these other agencies. And we're doing it in phases. There are additional offices, hopefully, that FSIS will feel strongly enough about having moved to this architecture that they'll want to do more of this. And you don't have to do a big flash cut that is this really onerous kind of endeavor that takes up a lot of your time and effort. We can do this. We can manage it. We're that one throat to choke. We'll take it from the point where the customer makes that leap of faith and says, I want to convert to broadband.
If you'd like to continue this discussion, I have a blog called the Tech Tuesday Blog. The show airs on Tuesdays, and you can chip in with some comments or maybe some questions. We can forward those off to Tony. In the telecommunications world, the phrase that is used, and it's a great alliterative phrase, is called rip and replace. I don't want to rip and replace. I don't want to do this. So are you talking about rip and replace or coexist, or what are you talking about in this kind of a transition?
At a site, for instance, that customer already has that T1. We bring in the broadband circuit. We don't have to rip out the T1 until that circuit is fully tested and the customer is happy with it. Then all of a sudden, they can cut it loose. They can cut it loose and start saving money and start enjoying more bandwidth. So we are essentially replacing. For the most part, we consider this a T1 replacement strategy for the agencies. Nationwide, we've done our homework. The customer, the feds use about 25,000 T1s. You start thinking about the...
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you start thinking about the...
25,000.
Exactly. You start thinking about the kind of money they're spending at $400 times 25,000. And if you can make that impact, maybe not at all 25,000, you can start to make that 40, 50, 60% price reduction impact. That's real money.
Yeah, with that number of T1s, at 25, you have 25,000 of anything, you're going to have good ones and bad ones and in-between ones, or sporadically bad ones. It's hard to evaluate them. And so all 25,000, some may be providing good service, might as well take and maximize the service they provide by making it more economical.
Absolutely. And perhaps not all 25,000 are candidates, but I think a significant number of these are candidates, particularly the ones that are longer in nature and therefore more expensive. We think we can make an impact there.
Good. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about saving money with managed services. 25,000 T1 lines in the federal government. I never would have guessed that in 25,000 years. I mean, it just seems like a whole lot of opportunity to look and try to save money with that. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President, Government Solutions at Hughes.
Moving your enterprise to the cloud doesn't mean you have to let go of IT control. With BMC's proven cloud lifecycle management from IronBow, you can visualize and manage data and applications in public, private, or hybrid clouds through a single pane of glass. It gives you the control you need to deliver peak performance for users. Find out more about BMC Cloud Lifecycle Management and the BMC Public Sector Forum at ironbow.com. Keep your IT in view and under control in the cloud.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Are you seeing more empty desks at your agency? The Office of Personnel Management says a retirement wave that usually begins in January started a few months early. More agencies are giving their online training and senior executive service development programs a boost. But if your agency hasn't done any of those things, you're not alone. A poll by the Society for Human Resource Management found less than a quarter of organizations nationwide have formal succession plans.
These are hard times for federal employees. A multi-year pay freeze, rumors of furloughs, and discussions on reducing benefits are the realities that all federal employees face. Now, more than ever, it's important to find ways to save your hard-earned money. One way is with life insurance from WEPA. WEPA offers lower rates and a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. To learn how much you can save, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
How is the U.S. Government Accountability Office working to put the country on a sustainable fiscal path? What is GAO doing to assist Congress and ensure accountability to the American people? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Gene Todaro, Comptroller General of the United States and head of the U.S. Government Accountability Office, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Frank Shalufo, Associate Vice President and Director, Homeland Security Policy Institute at the George Washington University, commented during the panel discussion entitled Cyber Power, Which Nations Will Emerge as the Cyber Powers of the 21st Century? Brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
There's a big difference between cyber terrorism and terrorist use of cyberspace, which is primarily intended to enhance and facilitate their tradecraft, whether it's for communications purposes, whether it's to fundraise, whether it's to do targeting analysis.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Booz Allen Hamilton believes that cybersecurity is no longer just about protecting assets, but about enabling organizations to take full advantage of the vast opportunities that the ecosystem of cyberspace now offers for business, government, and virtually every aspect of our society. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
As agencies await the release of the federal budget for fiscal year 13, they must learn to do more with less. To meet OMB's shared first model, agencies need to accurately measure the effectiveness of their IT portfolio beyond cloud and the FDCCI. Join FCA Bethesda on January 18th at the Bethesda North Marriott as agencies outline three key areas of governance, creating IT efficiencies and cost savings, policy and trends, and IT oversight. Register today at fciabethesda.org/JANbreakfast.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes. We spent the first three or four sections of the show talking about satellite services and saving money for federal agencies. Now we're going to go up close and personal. Those people who are listening saying, I wonder if Tony really is a nerd. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he's going to ask some 10 questions. These are my official 10 questions to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd. So, Tony, year of your first computer.
First of all, let me start out by saying I don't think anybody's ever called me a nerd or mistaken
we'll
me for one.
We'll find out. This test will find out.
I would say 1988.
88? Not too shabby. Not too shabby, you know. Your first cell phone?
1986.
86. That's pretty good. 86 is pretty good. That was like
early adopter.
Trunk of your car, one of those things.
It was a brick.
It was huge. Do you have a Twitter feed?
I do not.
No, okay. Do you have a blog?
I do not.
Okay. Do you use any online backup services for your personal information?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yep.
That's good. Like Dropbox or...
Exactly.
Okay.
I found it very useful.
Good, good. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
iPhone, okay.
That I just cracked out on the parking lot.
We don't want to... You just lost points with it. You gained points with iPhone, lost points by breaking it. Number of apps on your broken iPhone?
Oh, I'd say probably 20.
20, okay. Do you have a tablet device like a Kindle or an iPad?
I have an iPad.
Well, you're getting some points here. Participate in any social networking sites, LinkedIn?
Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it paper or was it electronic?
No, it was paper.
Well, it's going to be hard for me to categorize you in the nerd category here with that paper. That was a giveaway, you know. I once had a fellow in the studio here. He took everything in his house and threw it out, all the books, all the CDs, and it's all electronic. He's not going to do anything on paper anymore. I was kind of amazed at that, so that's interesting. So you're kind of in the middle of the road here, maybe. The early cell phone was kind of impressive, 86.
I had you going there, huh?
Yeah, you had me there with that, but then the paper is bad as me. You know, I read books on paper as well. That's pretty old-fashioned. Speaking of paper, money is printed on paper, and we're here about saving money for agencies. Let's talk a little bit more about making a transition away from a traditional way to communicate to remote offices and a new way proffered by Hughes. And this really has only been available for a couple of years now, hasn't it?
We've been doing it on the enterprise side now for about 7 years, John. And the as I assess the market and based on my experience in the carrier world and with the agencies throughout various iterations of what was once called the FTS network, the idea of trying to introduce this new access service during the difficult and now lengthy transition to the network's contract was not going to be good timing for us. Now, as the agencies are near completing or in some cases have completed the transition to the network's contract and the network's network, if you will, now's a good time to start talking to agencies. They've done that heavy lifting. I know I'm talking to them about maybe doing some more lifting, but I think the stakes are high in terms of the budget cuts that they're going to be hit with this year and next, and trying to make an impact on those and still trying to get their jobs done and their customers' jobs done. So I think our timing's good now to be bringing this to the government. Frankly, I don't think the timing could be better.
You know, I'm sure that there are people who are listening to this broadcast, and their boss may be a CIO who puts a shoulder to them and says, well, you know, what are you going to do this year to save money on telecommunications? And they say, we just made the transition networks. Okay, now let's use it more efficiently. And that may be the next step, is you make the transition networks. And okay, now how can you use that more effectively? I mean, if there are 25,000 T1 lines, there are people who are listening must know how many their agency has, or maybe their little department has, or whatever their work group is. And they might be able to take and get the calculator out and save money. That may be a line item that can save money just this year.
Well, we've done some homework. We've done sort of a template pro forma. You look at a sort of a typical or a hypothetical, rather, 500 site network. By the time you invest in some of the conversion costs to move over to the broadband, some of the upfront non-recurring costs, we've calculated that within 4 months, you're at the 4 month point, you're saving money. And doing that with technology and saving significant money on a 500 site or even greater network, the larger the network, the sooner the payback. So it really has some great potential here to save agencies some money, deliver them more bandwidth than they're getting today. I mean, instead of the old doing more with less, you're now getting more with less. And that's just a great concept. And the people at FSIS, I mean, they saw this, and they've really got to be commended for making this first leap in terms of going to the broadband capabilities and signaling that departure from connecting their field offices the old traditional way.
Yeah, and they maybe were the perfect storm for applying this technology. I know in my world of software development, there's nothing like an ROI in 4 months. I mean, it ain't going to happen in software development. It just ain't going to happen. I mean, in software development, if you get a return on investment ROI of 18 months, 2 years, you're pretty hot, you know? You're pretty hot. It's just interesting that FSIS can take a look at this technology, and obviously they made the transition last year. This year, now they're reaping the benefits. They're saving money. They're lowering their costs for all this. It's an incredible 4 month return on investment. Just is hard for me even to say on the air. It just is so fast.
I hope CIOs are listening, because it's one of the things, as I said before, the telecommunications managers, they've been working really, really hard at this transition for the last 4 years. That CIO's got to take a look at this and go, I understand that. And I understand you made this transition, but now we can complement what you've done with some newer technology. When have we ever asked you to stop considering new technology? And the government's, in many cases, in many ways, at the forefront of the use of technology over industry. And this is another example. Frankly, it's another example of them being able to adopt an industry practice. Keep hearing that when I go to conferences. I keep hearing that more and more. We've got to, we can't be so different from industry. We've got to adopt best commercial practices. Well, this is one that's been going on for 6 years now, and we've been selling this and providing this to the Fortune 500 companies. Now it's time for government to take advantage of this. And again, as I said earlier, we didn't try to impose this during the middle of networks transition. That just would have not been the right thing to do. But I think now the timing is good for them to consider this.
If you'd like to follow me, John Gilroy, on Twitter, my Twitter feed is @RayGilroy. And you can send me a tweet about this conversation or any of the folks I talk to. Tell me about Hughes nationally. What else are you working on in this whole area of telecommunications?
Well, we've of course our satellite services are our hallmark. They're our bread and butter. They're what we started with in this industry, and we're offering new services through the satellite field. We're launching in the first half of this year a new satellite called Jupiter. We have a satellite right now that we're very proud of and that we've sold a lot of service to the federal government called Spaceway, which is a router in the sky and unlike anything else that's up in the up in space. Jupiter will be a large 100 gigabit satellite that will offer download speeds to customers of 15, 20 megabit per second. And so we're talking about significant bandwidth now out of a satellite that has never been offered before. And we're going to be able to offer these services to businesses, to consumers, and to government. So in the future and on the horizon, really second half of this coming year, we're going to be offering some incredibly fast satellite services. We're really looking forward to that.
So it'll come online about 6-8 months from now?
I think so. And then also we're really advancing these digital media services, Wi-Fi services. We're looking at schools, for instance, where the kids are bringing their tablets, their laptops, their netbooks and so forth, bringing them to the schools and demanding, putting more pressure on the schools to put Wi-Fi throughout the school buildings, throughout the campuses, and throughout libraries and museums and so forth. The Wi-Fi is a very exciting area for us. So digital media, digital signage to inform the public on events and emergency situations, digital media for distance learning, for training and so forth. These are areas that Hughes is also working on for its enterprise and government customers.
Oh, it's not just schools. You know, there's 55 million iPads were sold last year. The people over Amazon are selling 1 million of these handheld devices every week. I mean, it's everywhere, and all the federal agencies have to consider, let's go to the cloud, but the vehicle to get to the cloud is a communication device. Is that the bottleneck? Maybe it's not the bottleneck, and if it is a bottleneck, how can we solve it, and how can we save money? Thanks a lot for coming to the studio. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with Don Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Like Federal News Radio on Facebook for a look at some of the top federal stories each day. Plus, we'll give you a taste of what goes on behind the scenes. Find us at facebook.com/federalnewsradio.